for you and good for your community.
Greatest phenomenon of the century thus far.
A benefit screening for KWU Community Radio.
Everybody!
A world premiere event.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Co-sponsored by Music Millennium and KWU Radio.
Here are the Beatles!
This coming Thursday evening at 7 p.m. The eagerly awaited new film from Academy Award winner Ron Howard, his documentary 8 Days a Week, The Beatles Touring Years, will be premiering worldwide in select cities Thursday, September 15th, including here in Portland at Cinema 21.
We captured Liverpool and London, and we were out to capture the world.
This version of 8 Days a Week will include 30 minutes of restored and remastered footage from the 65 Shea Stadium concert.
It's a miracle in a way they didn't go mad.
That's this Thursday, 7 p.m. at Cinema 21, a benefit screening for KWU Radio.
We brought that to the music.
That sounds exciting. This KWU program has been made possible in part by KWU Foundation members and a grant from the Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW, and also by One Green World, a local nursery offering hard-to-find fruiting plants designed to help you grow your own food and decorate your yard, deck, or patio. To order plants or their 2016 color catalog, their website is onegreenworld.com, or you can reach them by phone at 1-877-353-4800. Here comes the dirt bag. It's 11 o'clock, 1101 at KBOO Portland.
Hey, here we are. We're at the second Wednesday of the month. At 11 o'clock, it's time for the Dirt Bag. Good morning, Glenn Andreessen here beside you until 12 noon. And here beside me is Jim Gilbert.
Good morning, Glenn.
Good to see you. We took the month off, so it feels like it's been a couple of months since we've been in here. And this is a special show because it's in the middle of our membership drive. And we hope that you will consider remaining a member, extending your membership, or becoming a new member. We talk about all things edible gardening on this program and what it takes to do so. For example, today we'll be talking a little bit about cover cropping. It's really not edible, but it will help your gardens go and grow. At the half point of this show, we will have our garden stumper, kind of an interesting one. We will be talking about storage and storing apples and cover cropping and some other tasks that will be happening in this month. First off, we have anything to report, Jim, on happenings, events?
Well, at this moment, while you were speaking, I'm looking up the dates of the All About Fruit Show.
I think it's the 15th and 16th. I have it right here in front of me, the Pome News.
Oh, good.
And so we'll be having another show before that happens, right? Here, the 15th and 16th, Saturday and Sunday at the fairgrounds.
Clackamas County Fairgrounds in beautiful Canby, Oregon. And I would say to all listeners who are interested in fruit, and eating fruit and being around people that grow fruit, and those, and it's just a wonderful show. People really plan for it. Put that date in your calendar, because there's nothing like it. You'll get to see hundreds of varieties of apples and pears and pawpaws and persimmons and seaberry juice, I'm sure, will be there. Be just all sorts of good stuff.
We think it's perhaps the largest in the United States, if not North America.
Perhaps the world.
Whoa. Perhaps so.
Extend our horizons.
One other, or another event that I that was in my inbox here at the station is a film by one of our own KABU members, Barbara Bernstein, but also with her filmmaking partner, Elaine Velasquez. A new film on growing food, empowering communities, and changing lives. It's called Gaining Ground. Gaining Ground. And it will be at the Hollywood Theater on Sunday, September 25th, coming right up here on at 7 p.m. Hollywood Theater. There are tickets are required here. Let me give you just a little bit about it, what it's about. The negative impacts of industrial agriculture are everywhere. The increasing threat of genetically engineered food and the destruction of local communities can make us feel powerless to affect change. Gaining Ground, a new documentary film, is an intimate view of rural and urban farmers embracing this challenge. So, Sunday, 25th at the Hollywood Theater, 7 p.m.
Sounds good. And before we leave the All About Fruit Show, I also just should mention that the Home Orchard Society website, homeorchardsociety.org, is where you can get more information about that event. And there will be speakers there. And so it's really a great place to go.
Sure smells like fall when you walk into that room, too.
Man.
All that gut fruit.
I know. Right now I'm smelling pawpaws in my kitchen, which is
great. Are
they just starting to ripen and very aromatic. Wonderful.
Do they ripen off the on the tree?
Well, they ripen on the tree and fall off the tree if they are allowed to do so. If you pick them when they're starting to get just a little bit soft off the tree, they'll ripen like a banana on the kitchen counter.
And is there any drop off in quality if they ripen off the tree?
I actually think they're in better quality if they ripen off the tree.
Okay.
A little bit better. Yeah, some. If you let them fall, they get bruised and they deteriorate a little more quickly.
Okay, well, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Maybe we'll lump that in when we talk about storing and storage apples.
Sure.
Here, you want to just dive right into that part right now?
If the water's warm enough, absolutely.
We'll do that. We do have to take a we're going to go to our friends next door in a couple of minutes, but we'll get started here on this. Do you have any favorite, you know, I don't know about storage. There's a difference between storing apples and storage apples, I suppose. I mean, some that would... that without really making any conscious effort on storing them just might do pretty well. Any come to mind?
Yes.
Okay.
And we call them keepers. It's kind of the word, the old-time word. Well, the one that I just was my shining star last year is the apple Gold Rush, which is a late-ripening, relatively new hybrid and wonderful flavor. I mean, it was like we were eating them in April.
Well, so let's just give us a little hint on a scenario of you harvested them and then just put them someplace?
Put them in the cooler.
In the cooler.
You could put them in the refrigerator. You can put them in a cool room, that's not freezing, and keep them for quite a long time. Of course, if you've got a cooler or someplace where you can keep the temperature below 40 degrees, that'll increase the storage life. But the sign of a good keeper apple is one that will stay in good shape without being in a cooler. I mean, just being in a garage or someplace where the temperature is not going to get significantly below zero, below freezing. But will still be in good shape.
Okay, so that's Gold Rush.
Gold Rush was my favorite last year.
Right. And apples don't ripen after they're harvested, so you don't want to harvest them too early. And there was a time, or there's an article in this month's Pledge Poem News that talks about that, how to when to ripe, when to pick certain things. And we'll come back to that after we go two windows down to the east.
I only can see one window down.
But yeah. That's you Tammy see Tammy, and then on the other side Tammy. There is Will and Liz to tell us
great.
How to pledge to this station and this program.
That's right. It couldn't be much simpler. Liz is with me. My name is Will, and we're joining the Dirtbag Guys to talk about gardening and keeping KBOO going. Because KBOO is not only paying for its bills and its staff and all that, but we're expanding. There's always new stuff going on at KBOO, new opportunities, and our computer website is obviously growing bigger and bigger thanks to Jenko. And there's all sorts of podcasts now available through iTunes, but from KBOO. And if you pick up the phone and dial 87... Let me amend that. When you pick up the phone, not if, when you pick up the
phone. That's right, when, because we know you're going to.
It's inevitable. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. And you can make it happen. Just a simple pledge, whether you want to be a sustaining member or a one-time donation. We have some great gifts that are going out with the donations today, and we always do. And there's so much going on here. There's so much something to be part of. This really is a community radio station. And if you take the U out of community, you've got community. And that doesn't make any sense. So you have to make it count by picking up the phone and dialing 877-500-5266. Isn't that right, Liz?
That's right. Just like Devin, who just called us from Southeast, become a new member. Way to go, Devin! We love our new members. We love our renewing members, too. Thank you to Devin. Devin took that step and went from being just a mere listener to a contributing member. And now's the time for you to do the same. You know, Glenn and his guests were talking about keeper apples, apples that keep well. Members who support KBOO are members that keep the station. We keep the station strong and sustainable. And now's the time to show your support and become one of those keeper members. 877-500-5266. Or go online anywhere on planet Earth to kboo.fm. It is a safe, secure way to become a member. You can fill out an online form, and you can also receive thank you gifts through the online form. And we'll have more to talk to you about those thank you gifts at our next break. But for now, we're going to take it back to Glenn and his guest.
Well, there's a thank you, folks. Appreciate that. And we will talk to you in a short while. I just have a couple of musical breaks this show, ones that have to do with money and raising money. This is a nice little tune that recently discovered from Fiona Boys. I believe she's from Australia. A pretty good picker and no spring chicken, probably in her 50s or not. But this is just a song that's gotten me. It's called Walk Around Money.
Your guys tell me it's the only way to roll. I'm headed out.
Yeah, maybe a little of that walk around money could go to KBOO.
Sure.
Have a little bit less drinking money. You know, more listening money.
That's right. You know, Glenn, I don't know all of the garden shows in the United States, but I suspect there none that I know of have such wonderful music interludes.
Well, thank you, Jim. Yeah, I'd venture to say that there's probably an average of probably 10 or 15 garden shows per state.
Yeah, I would think so.
So there's thousands.
Right. You should talk with those people that put those garden shows on and share some of your musical ideas with them.
Yeah, I like to listen to Glenn the Dirtbag.
I mean, dancing around in the studio when, you know, talking about plants. That's great.
True. All right. Well, enough of that. Thank you, Jim, though. Sure. Well, how do we tell when apples are ripe? Well, we can go through all of these things here, and I will tell you some of them here. This is from the Poem News here, but this is interesting to me. That the home gardens, let me start over here. Says here that research in the north, this is northeast, over several years has shown that all of the methods used to determine apple maturity, including the starch indexed method commonly used in that area, taste was actually the most consistent method.
Oh,
yep.
Can't believe it.
Thus, home gardeners as well as commercial growers should always use the taste test when deciding on proper harvest time for apples. However, for long-term storage, apples must be picked before they develop good flavor, while they are still starchy. Isn't that interesting? I don't know that
right. So what would be the point?
Yeah, well, if they don't ripen, right, then maybe commercial growers, if they're putting a starchy apple into an ethylene chamber.
Sure, you can always add apple flavor later.
Well, they don't do that. But so here are some other criteria here that used to determine the optimum harvest time for apples. Seed color.
Yep.
That when they're brown, the fruit is ready to harvest. And so you're just going to have to go out there and pick apples every couple of 3 or 4 days, you know, when they start falling off.
Yeah, you might want to, you know, I think once they start to fall, and using my criteria has always been if it separates easily from the tree,
yes,
it's almost going to fall off, and that means that it's time to pick it.
And taste it.
And, well, if it right. Yeah, right. I mean, it better taste good then because it's not going to do much more.
Right.
You know.
Well, another criteria is skin color, although it says that the red overcolor is not necessarily a good index of maturity because there can be leaves in the way to prevent the coloring up and even a bag from my bagging the apples to control the pest problems.
Oh, years ago when I used to read I still do read commercial fruit growing magazines, I remember one variety was advertised as being appearing ripe 6 weeks before it was because, you know, that was what you could pick it in the way you just talked about. So it doesn't taste like anything but stores for a year.
Yeah. Okay. Firmness and percent soluble solids. Some of the most accurate indexes to determine the fruit maturity are firmness and percent soluble solids. However, special equipment is necessary for these. Not great for the home gardener.
But if you happen to have a refractometer sitting around in your garage.
Well, I will have soon because that's good for testing the honey, the moisture content in honey.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned earlier, here are the ease of separation of fruits from the spur. You don't want to rip the spur off. If you really got to tug at it, then it's not ripe.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And also days elapsed from full bloom. For example, Red Delicious apple requires 135 to 150 days from full bloom. Still, that's a 20-day difference, so taste.
Yeah.
That's got to be it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, most apples will store pretty well if they're, like you had mentioned, below 40, but above freezing.
You'll find that a lot of ones that won't store are ones that have codling moth in them.
Yes, and they're ones that drop early, too.
Typically do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, they can be not bad to eat if you don't eat the codling moth.
With the codling moth, yeah, the apple maggot, which is the one that tunnels all the way through and about the apple, not as good.
You know, we don't have those where I at our nursery.
Jim, you don't have the Mediterranean fruit or the spotted wing fruit fly either there.
Well, we've heard that we've had it, but we've not really been bothered by it. And I'd appreciate it if you didn't bring any out.
Okay. Please, be sure to wash off my boots. to yonder? Yes. Let's go back and see what if Will has Will, you didn't have your dancing shoes on, but Liz did.
That's right. I totally did. Because, you know, when you're sitting here pitching for a three-hour shift, which is what we do in the mornings from 9 to noon, you know, it's a lot of sitting, and I needed to get up and about. So,
well, boy, Fiona, she was your answer.
So there you go. So it's time for you all to get up and about and dance on over to your phone and call 877-500-5266 and support the feedback, support the amazing programming that Glenn Andreessen has been, the dirtbag. I'm so sorry, Glenn. I blew it.
Let's talk about food. So it could be a feedback.
Let's talk about food. Hey, let's talk about food for a moment. Thank you to the restaurants who have donated food for our volunteers today. Thank you to Bridges at 2716 Northeast MLK. And thanks to India House at 1038 Southwest Morrison. And thanks to also to Eat Pizza at 2037 Southwest Morrison. These restaurants are members of our community. They are doing their part by feeding our intrepid volunteers. And now it's time for you to do your part. 877-500-5266.
That's right. It's so important you do that today because the restaurants that have donated food to KBOO, they realize the importance of community radio and they know that they're part of the community. And you're part of the community too. I know you're out there. I know you're listening. I know you're enjoying the show. And it's fascinating to these people bring so much knowledge about the world of gardening that we're very privileged to have access to their minds. And not in a weird, creepy
fruit.
Way. But in a sort of like they're talking to us way, not like reaching anyway. So pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. And you can pledge your support to this wonderful, ever-expanding organization that welcomes you and everybody else who comes to Portland or lives in Portland or has been a lifelong Portlander. There are many of those people.
But we have listeners outside of Portland. We have listeners all the way as far south as Eugene. We have listeners in Corvallis and Philomath. We have listeners in Hood River and Longview and Kalama and Rainier and St. Helens and Scappoose. Oh, and by the way, we have listeners all over the planet.
Bingo.
How do we do that? By listening. You can stream all of KBOO's content live at kboo.fm. You can also stream all of KBOO's content, everything, music and public affairs, on podcasts at each individual site, at KBOO, at kboo.fm. And Jenka, our intrepid web... Our intrepid website coordinator is working to put all of KBOO's podcast music and public affairs on iTunes, where you can stream them and download them in some cases for free. Glenn, I want to ask you a question. How long have you been doing the Dirtbag?
Well, that's a good question because in its current incarnation...
Let's make it simpler. How long have you been doing gardening programming on KBOO?
Just say a number.
Well, I can say I started at KBOO in 1987.
Okay.
And that was, but not doing the Dirt Bag, it was Dawn Concert.
That's okay.
And then, so I think maybe the mid-90s, 95, 90.
Okay, so you... So
20 years at least.
You've been offering gardening programming and really sage advice, no pun intended, to gardeners at KBOO for at least 20 years, maybe longer. That's an incredible amount of time. And that is worth your support. And we know that there are folks out there who tune in specifically to listen to Glenn's show. I'm one of them when I can. I like to listen to it live because Glenn knows more about gardening than anybody I know. I've taken classes from him. I have gone on a tour of his incredible garden and met his bees, and what Glenn doesn't know, nobody knows.
No, that's not true.
And what he doesn't know, he brings really wonderfully informed guests on to fill in.
That's why Jim's here.
Like why Jim is here. And Jim, you were talking about taste and apples and how important it was, you know, to plant for taste as well as for durability and storage and all that other stuff. And so, you know, I want to use taste as a metaphor to talk about KBOO. You listeners out there, you all have amazing taste. You're listening to this terrific programming. And so we know that you appreciate it because you're tuning in right now in the middle of your morning when you could be doing any one of a number of other things, including harvesting your own apples. So show your support for the good taste that you hear on this program and the amazing advice and suggestions about how to garden better and how to care for your fruit trees. Show your support for this program and all of the other terrific programming that you only get to hear on KBOO by calling 877-500-5266.
That's right. It's a vital opportunity for you to donate to keep KBOO going, because this is a great radio station. We're not underwritten by, you know, Bob and Nancy Rich Person or the, you know, the global Hazchem organization or,
or Monsanto.
Exactly. Or Bayer, who's going to buy them soon.
Oh, God.
What was it, the figure? $66 billion? We could just use 1% of that to keep this radio station
here's
going.
Another figure for you. 80% of our funding comes directly from individual listeners, just
and that's
like
you.
You.
That's you, folks.
That's you listening to us right now. And that's what keeps us independent and able to bring you voices like Glenn's. So show your support for this kind of independent, unique programming that you can only find on KBOO. Give us a call right now, 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm. Thank you.
Well spoken. Thank you, Will and Liz. We will check in with them in a short while. Okay, so that's Storage Apples. Jim, you have anything more you want to say about that?
I think we've covered it pretty
well. Gold Rush was your favorite from this year.
Right.
I'll have to see which ones. The problem is this has been a bumper year for apples and pears, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I may have the opportunity to store a lot of apples this year. In the past, I eat them as I produce them. The trees are small and they're espaliered, so I don't get a lot. So now, I'll pay attention.
Yeah, another good one that I like is Enterprise, which is also a late ripening good storage one. And there are a number of ones like some more older ones like Ashmead's Kernel and Northern Spy and some of these. These are not always so great for growing in our climate, but if you have them, and they're
well. I was just thinking that I have two Northern Spy offsprings, if you will, Spy Gold and Spy Licious, and those are both late apples and store very well on the tree. That's just where I've stored them, and then go out and pick one when I want one.
Well, I could imagine they would store well in the box in the shed too.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if these apples that you mentioned, if they're all just late maturing too. I mean, is that a...
Well, generally, that's a good gauge of their ability to store well is their late maturity, because they're building up all of whatever the starches and reserves they need to have to store well. And like early apples typically do not store well. I
mean, that's what I was thinking too with the Gravenstein, for example. They're going to get mealy pretty quickly.
Right.
Okay. Let's move on to cover crops. It's a prime time for planting cover crops in your garden. As you start harvesting things, for example, my onion bed now is open, and it's time to plant a cover crop. And we go through this every year, talk about cover crops this time of year, just because it's so important and a cheap way to add not only organic matter to your soil, but if you're planting a legume such as crimson clover or Austrian field peas or fava beans or vetches, you will be concentrating or fixing nitrogen in the soil with the help of bacteria on the roots of these plants. They can gather nitrogen from the soil, from the air that's in the soil, and convert it into a usable form of nitrogen when the cover crop plant dies. It's unavailable in the meantime, but as soon as you plow in or cut or kill the plant, then that nitrogen becomes available. Very easy to plant. Most of these are very small seeds, and just recommend broadcasting it and then maybe taking with your hand, just broadcast it. I don't know how to explain it for that. Sprinkling it around, throwing it a little bit with your hand and whatnot. And maybe taking a rake and lightly raking over the soil to cover up the seeds. And an ideal time to do that would be any time before Sunday. Why is that?
Yeah.
Well, rain is forecast for Sunday.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah. So, and if it's not, then they're not going to germinate until they get probably some moisture on it. And I'm not sure after that when there might be more rain forecast. Or, of course, you can irrigate them in.
Sure. Yeah, it generally, in our experience, you can have some fun if you've got a larger area where you want to spread the seed on. There's a sort of, you probably could find this on some YouTube video, but there's just kind of a nice sort of almost like a dance you do when you spread the seed back and forth and back forth. And you kind of like let it come out through your fingers and you'll learn how to do it after a while to get a decent coverage that way. It's kind of fun.
Well, I'm assuming out on your farm, you're doing it mechanically now.
We have 14 people going down the middle of snow.
Right. Yeah, great. Though it is. Jim's creating jobs.
That's right. Come and spread seed. Yeah, we do it mechanically. Right now, we're actually, we are disking under our summer cover crop. Sudan grass, which set because our old disc, we had to replace our old disc. We had to wait till we got a new one. So it got a little taller than we'd like. So it's like 6 feet tall.
Ooh.
You wouldn't believe. It's crazy. This is like a dense mat of this grass.
Well, Sudan grass, like, I'm assuming, just like ryegrass, is not a legume.
That's right.
But it does offer good root growth.
Tremendous amount of organic matter,
right?
And it's also kind of a nematode repellent.
The sorghum grasses,
grass, yeah.
Good.
So that's a good thing. And then we'll plant vetch. We've ordered probably in a couple of weeks. We'll be planting common vetch for the winter.
And the reason that we wouldn't be planting sorghum, is it sorghum? Is that
sorghum or Sudan grass?
Sudan, yeah, it seems to be Sudan grass or. Buckwheat is not suitable for the winter. They're just not winter hardy.
Not winter hardy at all.
Right. No. And so these ones that we mentioned before, the crimson clover, fava beans, vetch, Austrian field peas, are winter hardy. So you'll plant them now. Those four that I mentioned there probably could be planted anytime between now and the second or third week of October. After that, you're just not going to get good germination on that. But with the rye grass, which once again is not a legume, which means it's not a nitrogen fixer, will germinate in much cooler temperatures, and that could be planted up until maybe mid-November.
Right. And I think you know there is rye grass and rye grain. And you're speaking of the grain.
Well, this is the annual rye grass. We don't want perennial, which is lawn.
Well, actually, there is still a difference, Glenn, because the rye grass, as it's sold, is actually it's a very small seed and just makes grass.
Annual rye.
But what we plant for cover crop is the grain, the rye grain itself, which is a different creature than the rye grass.
Well, maybe there's two things there then, because a grain would be thicker, like a wheat kernel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not what we buy in the store in the city.
To eat?
No, to plant for a cover crop.
That's what I've always used the rye grain as a cover crop.
Well, there we go. I learned something here today too. Mm-hmm. But generally, if you go to one of the local nurseries, it's not that grain.
Yeah, that's interesting. Huh.
Right. So that's why that's why I made the distinction between the annual rye and perennial rye, which is a lawn.
Right.
You know, when we talk about grass seed growers in the Willamette Valley,
right, and they're growing the rye grass, which is the annual or the perennial rye grass, right?
Yeah. Perennial, right?
Yeah.
It is confusing, and if we used the scientific name, then there wouldn't be any confusion.
That's
true. Less confusion anyway.
Right. Although I don't even know the scientific name of rye grass.
It's probably Poa something. Maybe not.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I'll look it up.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're right at half, or a little bit past half the hour here. Shall we go for our stumper?
Sure.
Okay, Tammy says sure. So here's our theme. Okay, I never gave out the number at the top of this. At the show, if you have gardening questions for us, it's the same number that you would call to answer or to chime in on this garden stumper. And it's kind of an open-ended one, but it basically deals with grapes. In this case, I'd like for you to name some differences between table grapes and wine grapes. And why do we distinguish between the two? And should we? Can we eat one and not the other? Can we make wine out of one but not the other? So what are some differences between table grapes and wine grapes? If you know the answer to that, or if you have a question on gardening, 503-231-8187. Okay. Boy, I tell you, my Canadized grapes, they're dead ripe now. Whew! Tasty.
I know. We have so many grapes. I had them this morning. I eat them on my cereal, actually.
Yeah. And what kind did you have? What variety?
Well, that's a good question.
Oh, okay. They were seedless, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah. There's a New York Muscat. That's a dark, it's a small, dark blue grape. Just knocks your socks off. It's so good. And then another Diamond Muscat, which is a green grape. It's also really good. Yeah, there's a bunch of them, though. I mean,
okay. Well, let's see. Jim, you had, we had talked about some other things here that are ripening up now. What's ripening up that we should be aware of?
Well, Asian pears are some are already done, but a lot of them are just perfectly ripe right now.
And that's another one that needs to be harvested. It ripens on the tree.
It ripens on the
not
tree.
Not going to do any more ripening off.
It's not like a European pear that you can pick and then have it ripen. So you
and actually should pick early for the European pears.
That's right.
It's kind of late for that now.
That's right.
Well, there's some of the winter pears that are still.
Yeah. Asian pears are dropping. I mean, I see them falling, you know, and usually the first ones that come have codling moth in them, which seems to, you know, as you said, gets them to drop early. But that gives you an indication that the ripening process is near. And taste is one of our main criteria. But as I said earlier, if you have to yank on them to get them off the tree, they're not going to be ripe. They need to be come off with some ease.
And, you know, so we just can't impress enough. You know, taste it.
Yeah.
You know, pick one and taste it.
Right.
And if it's, that's just too, you know, it doesn't taste very good or it's too hard, then don't pick any more.
So this is, I mean, as you said, this is a bumper year for fruit. I suspect it has something to do with April, which was the warmest April on record.
Yeah.
Good year, good month for pollination. So, you know, apples, of course, are going wild. Grapes, American persimmons are starting to ripen. Pawpaws are starting to ripen. What else?
It's a good time of year to be a fruitarian.
Yeah.
If there is.
And filberts are dropping.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My dog is having a good time eating the filberts underneath our tree in the front yard.
Boy, that's roughage.
He's got to be a darn healthy dog, right?
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Dave, you got a question?
Yeah. We're going to be going out of Oregon here in most of next year. And we have a big garden, and we live out of it. And I'm wondering what kind of a cover crop we could plant that would make it through the winter and the next summer, and then the next spring we could chop it up and plant. Know what I mean?
Yeah, but nothing is coming to mind.
Yeah.
The problem with cover crops is they typically grow too well, and they'll go to seed.
Yeah.
And most cases, it's not good to have the seed because then you have unintentional cover crop when you want to have something else.
Right.
Which could work in your case, except that it would keep working even when you don't want it to work.
Yeah.
I was thinking, well, crimson clover.
Oh, I saw in the seed catalog that red clover, not crimson, clover is a biennial.
No, it could be, but it's the biennial part. It still sets seed.
Yeah, and would it get really woody and hard to chop up?
Well,
the crimson clover, if you let it go too long, is really.
Yeah, they all have stalks that when they get dried, but I think it would just be a headache. A real problem to have all that seed there that you couldn't get to it in soon enough. And really, red clover is, I mean, you see it, red clover is a perennial weed.
Yeah.
I mean, you just see it all over the place. It's somewhat like white clover, the white Dutch clover.
It has a pink flower.
Mm-hmm. But it'll grow in, asphalt, cracks in asphalt. You know, I mean, it's a tough plant.
Yeah.
And once you get millions of seeds, you know, we have the saying, you know, 1 year of weeds, or excuse me, 1 year of seeds, 7 years of weeds.
Fava beans they're not that hard to weed out, are they?
No.
If they planted themselves in the spring.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. They're much bigger seeds, and they would do it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yes, and it is really. Our plums came in about a month early.
Right.
Thank you, global warming.
Right.
Yeah, gosh darn it. Okay, Dave. Good luck.
Okay,
and good travels to you. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Will and Liz.
Yes.
Talk to us.
All right. We will talk to you.
Talk.
It's lovely to hear all this conversation about Crimson and Clover and Tommy James and the Shondells.
I'm sorry. I just had to do that.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
I would have sang, but we're trying to get money out of these people. But I don't need to be that mean. But anyway, it's the phone number is 877-500-5266 to keep this hilarity on the air and these wonderful gardening tips. Just pick up the phone, dial 877-500-KABOO. Or you can go online to kboo.fm. There's a very easy way to donate that way or pledge your support. We have many different gifts available. We have some really cool KBOO t-shirts. And I believe we may even still have that excellent KBOO hoodie. And we have some books to give away. We have lots of different things available when you call up. Some of them are for $75 annual pledge. That's only $6.25 a month. It's very affordable, and you'll be doing something really great to keep your community thriving. So please, when you have time, pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. I know you're going to do that. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. But
you know why we know that?
How do we know that?
Because resistance is futile.
Okay, then.
So, you know, why resist any longer? Why just, you know, don't tell yourself you're going to do it later and I'm so tired of these people yammering about the phone number and I got to call now. Just do it already. 877-500-5266. Will is mentioning a book that we have available. It's a book published by the World Watch Institute called Can a City Be Sustainable? And this book can be yours for a $60 membership that comes to just $5 per month. One of the things that makes a city sustainable is its urban canopy. And that means the number of trees that are planted within the city. And we've been talking about trees earlier this hour, talking about fruit trees in particular, but trees generally, and we're talking about a gardening show. What is the purpose of having an urban canopy and growing the urban canopy is to keep temperatures down. And Glenn, I was remembering your last caller was saying his plums came in a month early. Thank you, global warming. So, you know, the more trees we have, the cooler our city is, and the more we can help each individual tree helps to slow the rise of temperature, just as each individual member and each individual call helps to sustain this station. And we know that you care about that because you're listening to us right now.
That's right.
Give us a call. What's that number again?
That number is 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABOO.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks again. We will let's start talking about a little bit of the difference here between the wine grapes and the table grapes. But Tammy says we have a phone call. No, we don't. We don't. Okay. Well, we'll start out here, and then if you think of any other differences between wine and table grapes, we'll do that. Okay. Both wine grapes and table grapes are of the same genus. And what is that? Vitis. Yes. But they have many, they can have different species, though. Mm-hmm. For example, wine grapes are always one particular type of grapes, Vitis vinifera.
Vinifera,
excuse me. Thank you. I don't know how to pronounce these things. And then, but some table grapes are also of that same genus. But others are a cousin, or they say, for example, Concord grapes are Vitis labrusca. Is that pronounced
that's
right?
Correct. Yeah.
The pronunciation there? Okay. And a vine that is native to the eastern United States. I did not know that. Uh-huh. Another native plant. Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Concord grape. Maybe they're from the northeastern
yeah.
part up there. Okay. So that's one difference there. Another difference has to do that they're bred for their different qualities. For example, table grapes are larger. Wine grapes are quite small, some closer to a centimeter in diameter.
Do you know why the smallness helps with wine grapes?
I don't.
Because you have more skin and all the good stuff that goes into wine from the skin.
And not only that, but the skins are thicker. So you have more skin and you have a thicker skin.
That's right.
Because that imparts a lot of the color, for one.
Right, and flavors.
Yeah.
And there's other things. I mean, people who know all about this can use the right words, but that,
yeah. And we're not them.
No.
Wine grapes also have big seeds, which take up a huge part of the fruit. So when you bite into a thick skin of a wine grape, it'll splash open and you have a seed.
A seed.
There, yeah. Also, this was surprising to me. If I was to ask you, which is sweeter, a wine grape or a table grape? I would guess a table grape. But no. In fact, the wine grapes can be twice as sweet. Clocking in, so to speak, at 22% to 30% sugar, mm-hmm. whereas the table grapes might be closer to 10% to 15%. Mm-hmm. And in addition to the genetic differences between wine grapes and table grapes, the vines are also treated differently. How they're trained. The T shape of grape vines maximizes the exposure to the sun. Table grapes use a trellis system, generally now, most home people use that too, in which the grapes hang under the vines. They get less exposure to the sun this way, but they don't rub against each other. This increases the amount of fruit they can produce, yielding up to 30 pounds of grapes per vine. For comparison, wine grapes would be lucky to get 10 pounds per vine. Just prune differently there. Yeah, worldwide, almost 76,000 square kilometers dedicated to grapes. What kind of percentage would you say are wine grapes, Jim?
A lot,
that's right. 71%. 71%. And that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, because wine is wine.
Wine is wine.
All right, so that's the difference between wine grapes and table grapes. Tammy, let's take a little musical break here. We have time to get into the New Radicals. This is an album from the mid-90s, but you get what you give. And remember this when you pledge to KBOO.
We'll be right back.
New Radicals. Only one album by the New Radicals, but Greg Alexander, the muse behind that one.
And the album is called Maybe You've Been Brainwashed Too?
That's right.
Wow, I want to get that.
Yeah, it's not bad. Okay, speaking of not bad, in fact, good. Here's Will and Liz.
It's very good. And in fact, of course, the New Radicals can only have one album because if they had more than one, then they would be the Old Radicals. Uh-oh, you know, and it wouldn't be new anymore. But that's sort of beside the point. What we're here to tell you is that it's time, the last time in the hour, where you can show your support for Glenn Andreessen and the Dirtbag, 877-500-5266, or go online to KBOO.FM. Glenn and Jim have been talking just in this last segment about cover crops, and I want to use the cover crop as a metaphor for talking about why membership in KBOO is so important. A cover crop is something that you plant in the fall to cover over your dirt in the winter instead of just letting your garden grow weeds in the off season. And cover crops are specifically chosen because they fix nutrients into the soil. So I want you to think about your membership to KBOO as being something of a cover crop by becoming particularly a sustaining member, where you give a specific amount every month, say $5 or $7.50. You are sustaining the soil of KBOO. And that's a really important thing. In fact, it's a vital thing. And we can't even tell you how vital it is before we tell you again to pick up that phone and call, Will?
877, excuse me, 5266. Oh, wait, hold on.
Let's try that again.
I was just up in la-la land. I apologize.
I snuck that one out.
Yeah, I was
caught
off guard there.
877-500-5266.
That's right, 877-500-KBOO. So I'm trying to snap back into reality. Here we go. If you folks are out there listening to these wonderful radio shows and also just off in la-la land, maybe it's time for you to snap back into reality and pick up the phone or go to your computer at kboo.fm and pledge your support to this phenomenal organization and all these great shows you're getting to hear. Even if you don't have a garden, even if you don't like gardening, you just heard a great gardening show, so maybe it's time to pledge $5 a month or $6.25 a month, whatever fits into your budget that will help keep this wonderful and ever-expanding radio station on the air. You can also come in. We have an open front door lobby area. You can have a cup of coffee, and we're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, just off Burnside. Really easy to find, beautiful mural out front. And you can get a tour of the station, pledge your money that way, come into the back area where we have the Pledge Central, and meet our lovely staff and volunteers. But yeah, whatever you do, make sure you put some money towards KBOO today. It's very important, and it's up to you to make that happen.
Speaking of volunteers, just want to remember and mention that every voice that you hear on the air, mine and Will's and Glenn's and every other voice you hear on the air at KBOO, is by a volunteer. It's a volunteer's voice. And that includes when you hear the voices of our paid staff. They are not paid for their time on the air. They are paid for all the work they do behind the scenes and off the air. And that means that KBOO is really empowered by the support of its volunteers. We have over 500 volunteers who work regularly with KBOO doing all kinds of things. And becoming a member of KBOO isn't just a matter of giving us your financial support. It allows you to become part of the KBOO community. You can come in and take classes and learn how to do radio production. You can help produce public affairs programming. You could help with music programming. There are all kinds of ways that you can show your support for the station. But the way we're talking about right now is your financial support. 877-500-5266. Will was talking before about becoming a member for $5 a month. That's just a $60 membership per year. We can set that up for you where we can do an automatic an electronic funds transfer from your checking or credit card. And it is absolutely safe, totally secure. We don't have to bill you and you don't have to remember it. It just happens automatically. It's a terrific way to help show your support for the station. And it gives us financial stability because we can count on that money coming in every month. Plus, for that $60 membership, you can pick up a copy of the World Watch Institute's Can a City Be Sustainable?, which talks about all the different ways that we can grow our cities and help our cities and our urban spaces become healthier places for all of us to live. I also wanted to just mention something about the fact about volunteering, going back to volunteering. Will was saying, you know, even if you're not a gardener and you don't like gardening, show your support for KBOO. Think about what Glenn is doing on this program. Whether or not you enjoy gardening, Glenn is an expert at gardening. He is a master gardener. He's been teaching gardening classes and working through extension programs. And there's very little that Glenn doesn't know about gardening. And that's true of pretty much all of our program hosts, whether it's for public affairs or music. These folks are experts in what they do, and they love what they do, and they bring their love and their enthusiasm to you. We know you value that because you're listening. You're listening to it right now. But what we really need you to do at this moment is pick up the phone, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. Will?
That's right. It's so important you do this because it's community radio, and you're part of the community, and Portland really is a community. It's not just another urban area. I love Portland. I moved here many years ago, as did, I'm sure, many of our listeners. And to put back something into your society and your community is so important. Otherwise, you just take it for granted. And I know you don't want to do that. And you could change the station to any kind of commercial radio station, and then you'll realize how great KBOO is when you come back here. But the way we avoid having commercials and underwriters by fascist organizations is we get donations from you folks out there, the individuals, the grassroots people.
80% of our budget comes from individual donations from people just like you.
That's right. So the way you can make that happen is picking up the phone and dialing 877-500-5266.
Thank you.
That's 877-500-KBOO.
Great. Thank you both for another fine hour of encouraging membership.
Cultivating the donor fields.
Indeed. We cultivate the dirt and they don't. Well, Jim, you are going to be traveling a little bit here before our next show. You said you're going to be gone to where now?
So Sunday we're flying to Korea. We'll spend a part of a week there, and then we'll fly to Vladivostok, Russia, and be there for a few days, and then we'll take the train across half of Siberia to the Lake Baikal area, where we have some friends, good friends. We'll be checking out Seaberry varieties, Siberian Seaberry varieties in that area. And in Korea, we'll spend some time with persimmons and some new varieties of persimmons, looking at those, and also jujubes.
And you'll be back for our next show. And then you're taking off again.
And then we're taking advantage of this great, wonderful freedom of not having a retail business to run. And we're going to go to Spain to a persimmon conference in October, Valencia, Spain.
Do they do oranges in Valencia?
I would imagine so. Wouldn't
okay.
you?
All right. Well, I'm glad that 1 week that you're back, you'll be here.
Yeah,
with us, and we'll have time to talk about the Home Orchard Society's The Fruit Show again. We'll mention that there, too.
Sure, and some caffeine would probably be helpful, too, when I'm back.
Good point.
Yeah.
A couple of items here, or several items to talk about, just general gardening stuff here in the last couple of minutes that we have here. I'm going to read this directly from the Poem News here. As fall approaches, leaves are sending nutrients back to stem and roots. They are weak. Therefore, disease and pest prone, do not overreact. So that just means, you know, this happens. You see some powdery mildew on your squash plants. That's just the nature of the beast. No need to worry about it at all.
Yep.
At all there. Two, I wanted to mention a little bit here about harvesting potatoes and squash. Potatoes you harvest when the tops have died back, which is about now. There might be some that are still a little green, but I'd try to get them out of the ground before it really rains. It's just a lot easier to harvest in drier soil. In fact, you could stop the irrigation now for a few days and then harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can harvest at any time, but leaving them in, they could start sprouting if they get some water, and if they get uncovered, they're going to be getting more sunlight and turn green. Not the best for potatoes. With squash, harvest squash after frost. Heck, that could be a couple of months or a month at least from now, and you may not have to wait that long. But generally, the rule of thumb is when that pale spot on the ground, where the fruit is resting on the ground, starts turning to yellow or orange, that would be the time to harvest it. Also, we recommend leaving a quite a bit of stem on, at least a couple of inches. The more you can leave, the better. What Poem News says here is cut a 2-inch stem on both sides of the squash stem. In other words, you know, the stem comes off of the vine.
Right.
So you're leaving a 2-inch piece on the vine.
Like a little tee.
Yes. Very good. And that will just help the stem end cure better. Mm-hmm. And what is then recommended after you harvest the squash is to put it for 7 or 10 days in a warmer location, 70 to 80 degrees. And then after 7 or 10 days, then you can store it 40 to 50. All right. That's it, Jim.
All right, Glenn.
We're out of time. Thanks for listening. Special thanks to Will and Liz, and always our greatest appreciation to our ace engineer, Tammy.
Thanks, Tammy and Glenn, for the wonderful music, as always.
We'll do it again in a month.
Okay. See you then.
Thanks for listening. Be well. Thanks for pledging.
It's 12 o'clock. Stay tuned for jazz.
And I'm digging, 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 digging.
KBOO Portland.
Till 9.